hello, and a very warm welcome to the podcast, Successful Student Transitions, A Time to Thrive. It's hosted by Louise Wiles and me, Elizabeth Gillis. And as you likely know in the podcast, we aim to be a companion for young people as they step out of school and into the world of work and study and help them thrive in new environments. And of course, we've recently been having a major focus on the transition to university, mainly for students, but there's been some episodes for parents too. At the time of recording this, first year students will be at university starting in that first term with all that's new in the change. And also for parents, it's often a big change too. So today I'm really happy to welcome a parent, Pippa, to the podcast to gain her insight into the changes that happen when young adults go off to university. So welcome, Pippa.
Thank you, Elizabeth. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
I just want to say, just to introduce you a little bit, Pippa, because you have a wealth of experience on change and transition, because you've been a supporting parent with two of your young adults, one still at home, but two have successfully gone off to university. And you've also had an experience of lots of change in general, because your family have moved around and lived and worked in different countries, and your young adults have, you know, been in school in different countries. So you've got a wealth of this kind of change experience, haven't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And we're lucky. You know, everyone says, oh, you're so lucky you've had these exotic experiences, you've lived around the world. But it comes with its sacrifices as well. And it comes with its advantages and disadvantages, which we have been more aware of when we've moved to the country. And then when we've returned, then we're aware of those differences and the challenges. But you just try and make it work as best you can, don't you?
And I think that's a really nice introduction to that kind of area, because I think Louise and I both feel that this, you know, the world of transition for families, there's a lot of research and information out there, and it's really pertinent to young people when they do go off to university, because it is almost like they're going to a different culture too. So I think it's good to use that information that's out there.
Yeah, what our eldest son found when he went to university, and that was, he started there 2 and a bit years ago. I said, oh, have you met, you know, anyone else who's like, you know, been an expat child? And he's like, no. And he said, you know, they said they were really surprised that I was born in Japan and that I've lived many years in Japan and Denmark and Brazil. They could not believe it. They could not relate to it at all. I said, what about practicing your Portuguese? There's no one here to practice my Portuguese with. He's now moved to a city for the third year in industry, and he's found someone to speak Portuguese with, which is great. But a lot of the people that he met were quite surprised of his background prior to coming to university. Really, really surprised.
And it maybe is quite unique to have all those sort of changes under your belt, not just kind of like moving house, you know, within the UK or something, but to have really big changes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I think when I was thinking about what we would talk about today, Pippa, I was thinking about there are often phases in that transition experience, not just to university, but in all of them. But we'll focus on the university today and you being a parent and your young adults. So the phases are a bit like that planning and preparation for them to go. And that often starts, well, it can start kind of like, you know, at the beginning of, you know, sixth form or something like that, or you start like the week before they go to university. So it can be different.
Yeah.
So there's the planning and prep. There's taking them there and kind of off they go. And then there's the time when they're there and you're at home. And of course, they do come back and forward quite a lot, a little bit. But you've done this twice now. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about your experience of your young adults going off to university and maybe thinking about those phases?
Yeah, well, it's interesting how you said you're preparing, that you might start the preparation from sixth form. I think it's really hard for them because they don't know until they get that envelope or that email in August if this adventure that, or this chapter of their lives is actually going to happen or not. But, you know, so our eldest, as you know, you interviewed him, he had all his hopes planned on this first university choice, didn't get it. And so suddenly he was going for second university. It was, I hadn't planned for this. Oh, dear, what am I going to do? And then he actually thought of not accepting the place. So yeah, they are planning it for it in sixth form, but they don't know until that golden day arrives whether it's going to happen or not. Same for our second son. He had a health condition, so we really were not sure what would happen to his results. And when he wrote his personal statement, the school backed it up with you know, extenuating circumstances document. But in his mind, because he knew that his A-level results were probably going to be mediocre because he had really been quite ill, in his mind, he was going to a second choice. But on the day, he opened the envelope and he was going to his first choice. And I hadn't thought I was going there. I really wanted to go to Sheffield. Oh, and you could tell he was a little bit taken aback. We were like, oh, that's amazing. You know, floods of tears. You've got your first choice. And he was like, oh, yeah, I think I'm happy.
So a lot of uncertainty, isn't there?
Yeah. And he had pictured himself at this city up north in Sheffield. And suddenly he was going to Kent and he was thinking, oh, this isn't actually that good. I'm going to be quite near to home. This is not that good. But actually, it's good for us because he needs to come back for regular health checks and appointments. So for us, we can go and collect him. We're there in an hour and a half. And he's happy with that. It's fine.
And I think, you know, Pippa, that's par for the course. There's likely for the majority of young people a lot of uncertainty. I think you're right, until they get the envelope and then it becomes certain what's going to happen.
Yeah. And then it's almost like right now we do need to go shopping. Right. You need a duvet or you need this, you need this. And then it's kind of like quick trip to IKEA or wherever you buying stuff online. So that's what we've done for son number one and number two, dropping them off. I did this for both of them and they were really appreciative, particularly our first son, because he had very demanding study hours. I gave them like 10 meals that they could just throw in the freezer. So 5 chilies and 5 chicken curries. And I said, you don't have to eat it, but if one day you come home or you just haven't eaten properly for a few days, there's just like something in the freezer for you. And so the eldest one really appreciated that. The second one did too. But then this year I offered it to him and he was like, no, it's okay. I don't need it. I quite enjoy cooking, Mum. I said, that's brilliant. I know you're not going to starve. It's just those days when maybe you just can't be bothered or you've forgotten to go shopping or you've run out of money. I said, then you can use it. So I tried to do that for them both. What else did we do?
And that kind of like taking them there then, how did you feel about that, dropping them off in this place that's, you know, they've chosen to go to? And
it was mixed emotions, really. I think our first, because he was the eldest one, that probably felt a little bit more emotional because he was the first one to go. And we were in his room and sorting stuff out and we could see people going past in the corridor. And I was like, come and say hello. Come and say hello. I was like, Mom, I know what to do. Sorry. Just, you know. And then he said, after a week, he said, it's going great, blah, blah, blah. We've done this. And I said, so who have you got in your flat? And he told me, there's this other guy who's never opens his door. And I was like, check in on him, knock on his door, check he's all right. He's like, Mum, I know what to do. Like, I know, but just sometimes you need remind, maybe it's helpful to be reminded that, you know, even though their door is closed, it's not saying keep away. It could be a cry for help. So I was probably a bit interfering in that respect. So that felt more emotional. I think with Sam, we'd had the emotional sort of year before then because he'd been ill. So I think when we dropped him off, it was just like relief. Like, I'm so happy to see you in your university flat. And I'm so happy that you've got here and you've done really well, and just go out and enjoy it. That's what I wanted to say. And he and his brother were doing two very, very different courses. So I knew that son number two is going to have more time for socializing and that sort of thing. I knew that for son number one, I didn't realize quite how demanding his degree would be. So he then, I don't know if that leads us into our next point, he did have the next transition, which was, you know, I think everything was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then after Christmas, bomb. I don't think I'm enjoying it. I think I want to drop out. I want to stay at the university, but I want to change course. It's just too much, blah, blah, blah. So we just had to support him through that and said, at the end of the day, you're the one who has to make the decision. We can tell you the advantages and disadvantages to doing that, but don't think that you have to leave just because you think you're not keeping up with the grades. You know, I know you have to meet this certain percentage every year, but we think you're capable of it. This is just maybe a blip. So you need to do all these things. So he had to go for student counselling. He had to go and talk to his tutor. Then he was talking to fellow students who were doing different courses and whether he was going to join them or not. And he came up with so many different courses that he was going to do. And I just kept on saying to him, but what is your passion? I know you're a really, really, really good linguist. You could try languages. And he said, yeah, but Portuguese here is beginner's Portuguese. I'm going to find that really frustrating. And he said, and I can already do languages. And I said, I can do languages, but there's so many more I want to learn. But he just couldn't come to the right conclusion. He said, well, I think I'm going to see out the first year and then see how I am. And then he surprised himself by passing his first year really well. So he said, yeah, I'll do the second year. And now he's really happy in a year in industry. Still not sure if he's going to make it into a master's or just stay as a bachelor's, but it was the right decision for him. But he had to go through that period of like, I don't know if I've done the right thing.
Yeah. You know. And it sounds very nicely, Pippa, that you were kind of talking him through it, mm-hmm. like mm. helping him not make a kind of quick decision. Mm. I mean, some kids do kind of leave or they go in other courses or whatever, and it could be the right one. But I think you don't want them to make a sort of quick decision where they're not thinking things through.
Yeah. And I don't think he realized, I didn't want him to realize this. If he's listening, he'll know now. But it really, really concerned us and worried us. And then we're thinking, so then what does he do? What if the next course is not the right one for him? Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? Yeah. And he could sense a little bit of disappointment in my voice, particularly. I was like, I'm sorry, it's just how I feel. I feel that you've given up a lot to get to this point, and I don't just want you to dismiss it now. I will support you, whatever your decision is, but be very, very, very careful. And he said, I know you want me to do this. I said, it's what you're doing at the end of the day. I'm not doing your degree. It's your degree. Yeah. But just be very careful that you don't make a rash, quick decision, like you say.
Yeah. I know of a student and they were in their third year and they were thinking of giving it all up, and they went to talk to their tutor and the tutor said, you know, just give it a term. Mm. And then give it another term.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then they graduated really well. So wow. You know, sometimes when you view it like an enormity in front of you, yeah. rather mm-hmm. than breaking it out down by term and terms, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it made me better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a really important role then for parents to kind of like weather the storm with them, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's hard because you're far away from them.
Yeah.
And particularly our first son, he was quite some distance away and you just want to drop everything and go. You think you can't do that. That's interfering. They are a young adult at the end of the day. So I just found like sending a care package. So I just went on Amazon. I sent him a big bar of Toblerone, some vitamin C, some vitamin D. And then I think I sent him a gift card. I said, you know, go out for dinner with your girlfriend or something. I just wanted him to then sort of take a break from study, which was obviously too much for him, and just go shopping, buy some clothes or something. So I just sent him a little care package, which was really appreciated. Yeah.
And getting also when they're, if they have that dip, and if you listen to other podcasts, it's a really common thing to have, you know, get them to link up with university and where to ask for help there, because there is a lot of help at university. It's finding the kind of right one to support you is a good thing, isn't it? So I think to do as a parent too is saying, where are you going to, who's going to give you some help at university?
Yeah. And I think these days, I mean, we're also aware of mental health and, you know, everything. So I think it was not difficult for him to access that. I think when we were at university, it would have been more difficult. You'd have gone to your tutor saying, oh, this is really hard, but we just weren't so tuned into mental health in those days, were we? And it's only a few people had mental health issues in those days, whereas we probably all have some these days, don't we? It's in our lives.
Yeah. And what about that, you know, that kind of going back and forward, so coming home for that first holiday or the summer? Because, you know, I think when my young adults went off to university, I had this kind of notion in my head that they were going for 3 years. I didn't quite understand that they were going to come back at points as well, you know. What's that? What was that like when they were coming in and out of home a bit?
Wonderful to have them, to have a busy, noisy household again, but they eat so much. So it's like, oh my God, it's just been the three of us, because our youngest is still at home. And then suddenly I've got to cook meals for five again. But when you've got a house full of four men and me, it's not cooking meal for five, it's about seven or eight people. Yeah. You might have a little bit of leftovers, but they literally just clear the plate.
Hoover everything, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, you stack up the fridge for them when they come home, and then you go to the fridge 3 days later, the food's gone, the food is gone. And then they come home to relax. It's really good. So our second one, I've never seen him sleep so much. He was always the early bird like me. Now, you know, you have to stir him before 11 o'clock and he's still like fast asleep. So they just get new habits living on their own, which are different to when they lived at home. And then when they come home, these new habits come with them. Like, oh, I didn't remember that. So it's
let these new habits kind of exist alongside home then? What do you think?
It depends what the habit is. So food, I mean, just food is food. I always say never argue over food, just help yourself, but within reason. But it's the going out that I find really difficult, because when we were all a family here, we were all on Life 360 and I could track them. I knew where they were. number one son went to university, immediately he left the group. Number two son went to university, he left the group. And now it's just me, Simon, and our youngest who are on the Life 360. And I just can't see what Toby and one and number two are doing. That's fine. But then they come home and they want to stay out till all hours. I'm like, but this is our house and I'm going to worry about you. I can't track you and see where you are. So please just give me a vague indicator when you'll be home. And that's really weird, because when they're not here, it's not out of sight, out of mind. But I think, well, I can't see them. So you almost worry about them less in a way. Because you physically can't see them. But when they're home, straight away, I'm saying to son number two, have you taken your medication? He's like, you haven't asked me about this since September. Now you're home and you're checking up on my medication. And then again, you know, they roll in the door at 3-4 o'clock at university. They come home like, oh, you're a bit late last night. It's like, yes, because that's what I do at university. But it's all kind of, funny things. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
No, it doesn't. But it is a transition for us as being that parent who's kind of like less responsible for them now. They're far more independent. And I think you're right, when they come back under, you know, to our homes and under our roofs, we kind of tend to go back into those roles a little.
Yeah, parental roles. And almost like, and then I'm automatically doing their washing sometimes, like, why am I doing this? They do this at university. But I think, well, I want their washing to smell nice because everything comes home and it stinks. So I want it to smell nice, so I don't mind.
So it's a change for everybody, isn't it, really? Was there anything, Pippa, that was a surprise when they went off to uni? A surprise for, you know, for you? Can you say, oh, I didn't think I'd feel or think about things like that?
I think we were all prepared for the one left behind. So our youngest son, we were all prepared for him, how it was going to be. I mean, we were making jokes about it. He was like, oh, you're going to be like helicopter parents now, aren't you, now that number one and number two have gone? And I said, no, of course we're not. Of course we're not. But my best friend calls herself Fun Mum, because the two of us took him to university. We went to go and look at Brighton a couple of weeks ago. And we were walking around and I was nagging him. And my best friend said, stop nagging, Pippa. I'm like, nagging. She said, yes, you are. And then we made a joke that Jane was Fun Mum and I was Nagging Mum. So our youngest was all prepared for us to be nagging parents. But I think he just missed that kind of camaraderie that he had with his two brothers, because they're all close in age. They're all like, I had three under 4 years, I think. So they're all very, very close in age. And they are good, good mates now. And so I think that was hard for him. Mm. And so I kept on saying, you can go and stay with your brothers. Go and see them. So we went to see son number one weekend, and Simon and I stayed in a bed and breakfast around the corner, and he stayed with his brother, which was just atrocious because it was a horrible student house, but it was amazing. But he said, God, it was cold. It was really cold. He hasn't been to see son number two yet, but I think that's the kind of timing of it all, when he's got more studies now. But it was hard for him as well, because my best friend's two sons have also now left. And I think out of the group of five of them, they were all like five brothers together. And he's like, nice, the one who's left behind. And it's, you know, some of it's the youngest, you know, that's what comes with being the youngest in the family. But it has been hard for him.
We had a podcast recently, Louise and I did it, and we called people stayers. Mm. When I work with schools, we're often working with the kids that are leaving, but we work with the kids that are ones that are left behind, because they've experienced change, huge change too. And they've got to continue their lives without all this other stuff that's gone. Yeah. And I think kind of you recognizing that within your younger, the youngest, about them being a stayer, I think is really important.
And as a result, he probably does get more independence than the other two would have got at this age, partly as well, because when the other two, well, when number one was our number three's age, we were still overseas. So he had less freedom because we were living in Rio, which had its security challenges. But I do think that number three probably gets a little bit more independence, a little bit more freedom compared to the other two. But you do it because you don't pity them, but you're just very aware that their role has changed. They are probably lonely. So yeah, he has an okay time, I think. I think he's all doing all right.
Yeah, that's good. You've said a little bit about the transitions of the two boys going off to university. It sounds like they were quite different in a way. That first one was the kind of the big new thing in the family. And then the second was, oh, we've done this before. We know how to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no, they were different. And I don't know what son number three's transition will be like, because he's still not sure if university is for him or not. He's certainly going to give it a try. And I believe that he can do it. But he's very lucky in that he can get an insight into his brothers' lives at university and see what it's like for them. And then his two friends from my best friend's family. So he's got the best of both worlds in a way. He can look at them and say, "Yeah, I think I do like that." And having been to see son number one, he was like, "Yeah, I think it's all right." That was when he started talking positively about university. Yeah. So I think his transition hopefully will be smooth, because he's also very, very sociable, and he's very creative. And so I think it will be a good move for him.
He'll find his.
Yeah, he'll find his tribe.
And then, of course, it will be a transition for you as well, with nobody at home.
I know, going from a house of five to just two of us. I know it's going
to
be.
Let's just talk about that now. We were going to, but let's just jump to it about, what do you think about, people talk about this empty nest then, when their kids have all left, do whatever they've gone, not always to university or whatever. What do you think of that phrase, empty nest?
It's funny, because I'd never really thought about it until you asked me. And then I was like, actually, it's quite a negative phrase, isn't it? Because my best friend, her two boys are sort of in the middle of our three boys age-wise. And so they're like, our house is so tidy. And I think they're in that honeymoon phase at the moment, where they're probably not missing their sons as much, because it's quite new and it's, we've got time. We don't need to do the school run in the morning. Oh, you know, all these things that they can do. So they are, that their nest is empty, but that phrase almost sort of infers that that's the only reason you have created your children, for them to then leave the nest. And, you know, this is, so I wrote down equivalent. It should be called next stages or next chapter or something like that, because there's positives and there's negatives to it, of course, because you miss them and you miss that busyness in the house. But suddenly, you know, you can go away for a weekend. You don't have to worry about it. You know, who's going to keep an eye on my 18-year-old who I'm leaving behind? There are many positives that come with it as well.
And there are, I think, and it's a little bit about, you know, in any change, there's challenges and opportunities, and the opportunities for parents to do completely new things, you know, to find new things that they want to do because they don't have school runs to do, or, you know, help kids through exams, or, you know, keep the fridge full. Yeah. But there are other things to do. So it's, I do think that empty nest, it feels like it's an end, where I think it should feel like a beginning.
Yes. Yeah. And also, I'm very mindful of the fact that my generation, so my husband and I, we're this sort of sandwich generation. So even though the children are going or have gone, we've got elderly parents who need us as well. So suddenly you've got time, more time to devote to them, because the young ones don't need you now, but the older ones still need you. So you're kind of pulled in two directions, but it feels less intense once you've lost some of your children, because you've got more energy and time for the older ones.
And that's another change too, isn't it? That's another transition where you're kind of ended up, you're kind of changing your role within those relationships.
Yeah, almost sort of learning to parent my parents, which is a bit strange at times. Yeah, it's needed.
Yeah,
they have a comfortable life.
What about when they went off to university? Did either of them experience homesickness, or like really, I mean, you mentioned a little bit, but did they kind of really want to be come back home, even if it was just for a day or something? Did they do that? I mean, did they kind of feel that long home longing?
No, I don't think so, actually. I mean, when sudden number one had his sort of like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, there could have been a little bit of homesickness there, but I think it might have also been a bit of reverse culture shock that was hard for him, because he spent most of his education overseas with periods in the UK, but he was mainly a returning expat student. So I think he just suddenly felt, I just don't know what I'm doing here. You know, he was used to being in a city where you hear languages all around you, and suddenly it was just English. And he was like, this is really, it was just a lot for him. A lot of transitions going on inside his mind at the same time. So adjusting to university life, being independent, being back in Britain, there was just so much going on for him. So maybe it was mixed with homesickness, these feelings he had. Our second son has just been home for a couple of nights because he's got reading week and nobody really was around. So he said, I just wanted to come home and see you. I don't think he was necessarily homesick, but he just wanted to physically see us, be in the comfort of his own room again a little bit. because his housemates, they weren't all on reading week, so he said he was going to be bored. And I think when you're bored, you go and spend money. He's like, I don't really want to spend money. So he just came home, and that was really nice to see him.
It sounds like, no, they haven't then, have they?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're very good, because I said, you know, whatever your problem is, please make sure you tell us. Even if you think we're going to be disappointed or angry, it's better if you tell us so we can help you. So I've always tried to be quite open about their communication. So that it was good when son number one did say he was doubting his university choice or his degree choice. And I said it to number two as well, you know, please make sure you always keep in touch with us. Even if it's just like, hi, you know, if I say everything all right, and then it goes quiet, and then, oh, I'm a bit worried you haven't responded. And you can see they've read the message and there's nothing coming back. So they are quite good though now, especially number one. He's got a bit more time this year as he's working in industry, and he'll just say catch up chat this weekend. And he's really good at that. And then son number two just wanted to come home this week. So it's just reassuring to hear their voices or to have a video chat. And they often just need to ask us practical things like, oh, I need to get my COVID jab. What do I do for that? And we can just give them adult advice, because they are young adults. So I sometimes like to think of them as grown-up teens, because they, you know, they're just at the beginning of their adulthood, really, aren't they? And they're going to go through so many more changes between now and, you know, if they have children and get married or whatever. So,
And jobs and all of that stuff. I think communication is key.
Yes.
And in just kind of keeping in touch with them. Mm. And I really liked what you said about, you know, tell us whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because we can, there's a way to work it out and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have shared, you know, things with us, and we'd be like, oh my God. But I just wouldn't not have it any other way, because I would hate for them to be going through something and not telling us because they were just scared of our reaction or just scared they'd be in trouble.
But is there anything else? So if any parents kind of listening to this whose kids, you know, even just in the first year of uni or is thinking about going to university next year, what would you say your kind of top things, maybe I'm sure you've said them before, but what are the kind of top things that you'd kind of say that these are great things to do when they're going off to university? Because it sounds to me like you've done it really well.
I think we're learning.
But it's work, isn't it? It's not
working. Yeah.
It's work. You have to work at it. It just doesn't happen on its own, does it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think my first advice, and it's not nothing physical, it's what you should own or buy to have in your university room, is just what will be or what happens is meant to be. I really think that. So, you know, son number one's first choice didn't happen and he was like, oh my God. But actually, I remember him coming home or just speaking on the phone, and I said, oh, to think, you know, son number one, you had these doubts about going to your second choice. He's like, really happy. I'm so happy. You know, that was before he had his crash, but he knew then that he was happy. So I've come to the conclusion as well with son number two, because he ended up going to a different university because he did get his first choice. Whatever happens, whatever university you end up at, you are going to have a good time as long as you go with that open mind and don't have that chip on your shoulder going, oh, I wish I'd got my first choice, or I wish I'd got my second choice.
My second, yeah.
Yeah, just go with that open mind that it's going to be fun wherever you go. So I think that's really important. And I think, yeah, we try and talk to them like, well, when we were at university, they're like, that was years ago. And it was, because I graduated in 1994. So it was a very long time ago. But I've tried to say to them, you know, you are extremely successful because you're, the way that you get into university now is so much more challenging than when we were younger. I said, I would not be able to go to Leeds to do my French degree now because I wouldn't get the grades. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, you've got so much more pressure, so much more competition, you know, and your personal statement. I just remember writing mine on a hand form, you know, in pen and ink, you know, it was just, it feels so archaic now. And I said, you know, you're this technical generation as well. You know, you have to show your digital portfolio and your video of when you took part in this, the United Nations conference.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you have to have evidence of everything. We didn't have to have much evidence for anything. So I just tried to make them realize that they are, you know, they should celebrate this. But they're like, but yeah, everyone's doing this though. So we're all successful in that way. But it is hard for them. I think they definitely have it harder in many ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, what would my other advice be? And yeah, communication, just keep keep the communication there, because as parents, you naturally worry if you don't hear from them.
Yeah.
And then we used to tell ourselves at the beginning, oh, well, no news is good news. That means it's okay. But now it's like, no, I do need to hear from you just once a week, a bit of a WhatsApp chat. And we've got a family WhatsApp chat. So once in a while, you know, I can share a memory from Facebook. Oh, look how cute you are. And that will always just get a response from them. So that's just like,
so you know how to put something out there and get it back. That's a really good thing to do.
Very subtle, because then I know, okay, you are all right. You have eaten something. You are going to lectures, I think. So yeah, just communication. And then when they come home, just enjoy it. Don't get too annoyed at their new habits or the fact that they are just seem to, you know, take up the whole room by just by being there and their booming voices. It's lovely, really.
And it sounds like as well, like, you know, you're saying to them, go with an open mind. You've got an open mind with it as well. Like when they're coming.
Sometimes often I can say it and I'm just inside go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Because, you know, I can be quite an anxious person and I hear the stuff I'm saying. I think, God, the stuff I say to the boys, you might think I'm not an anxious person at all, but I just want to empower them with positivity, even though I might not always feel it myself, and just, you know, let them realize this blip that you're feeling is very short-lived and your time at university is very short-lived. So don't go with regrets. Don't leave with regrets. Just embrace it. And, you know, what will be, will be. Wherever you end up is meant to be. I really believe in that. And that's your destiny. It was meant to be.
Yeah. So kind of almost like enjoy whatever you're doing, you know, keep an open mind. And actually that's come through when we've done interviews with. Mm-hmm. So it filters down, Pippa, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
and
it does,
you're a positive support for them.
Yes.
Yeah. When things are going well, and also when they're having tougher times too.
Mm.
That kind of parent positive support. You know, you can do this. I believe in you.
Mm.
Let's work it out. Let's see what's going to happen.
Just
that kind of backbone for them, I think, at this really crucial time.
And sometimes it's just something really, well, not, I don't mean silly, sometimes it's just a really small thing, but number two was really struggling with an essay and I think he was just overwhelmed by it. So I just broke it down for him. I said, I think today you should do your introduction. Then you should go away, do a bit of reading and give it a couple of days, reread your introduction, and then you should start on your next bit. You know, have you planned it out? And I just gave him, you know, advice like that. And that worked. And I thought, wow, I can't believe I'm giving him advice on an essay, because that, but actually he probably was approaching the essay the same way I would have done it at his age, go, oh, it's so hard. I've just got to do it all now because I don't like it hanging over me. And then son number one, he was working in a project and he felt that not everybody was pulling their weight. And he said, I know they've got mental health issues, but blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, that's really good. You're recognizing that, but also think what it's doing to your mental health. Because you're carrying the burden for the whole group now by allowing them to just, you know, take it easy a bit because they're struggling. I said, you do need to tell someone about that as well now, because I think it's impacting you. And he hadn't thought of it that way. And I said, you know, I really hear what you're saying about those people and you're really considerate, but you've got to consider yourself as well. So just, you know, little bits of advice like that, which I never thought they would listen to me, but they just needed that voice to go, oh, it's okay to feel like this and to actually act on it as well.
And ask for help.
Exactly.
Pippa, I know we could go on and on and talk about lots of other things, but I really liked the things that you shared, especially I think that being that positive support. You know, maybe, you know, when people talk about this, an empty nest, but you're still the parent in the nest, you know, waiting for them coming back and forward, or even being there when they've got some questions or queries about something. So it is not an empty nest, is it?
No.
And the nest is full.
The nest is full and they're happy. It's a successful nest. And what we actually, one thing we've done, I don't know if that's good advice, is we've gone to see them.
Yeah.
Because for them to come home, sometimes they're like, oh, it's boring, no one's home. But if we've been to see them, so with son number one, we planned to do a half marathon in that city. So we were there for the weekend. And then with son number two, I mean, he's obviously nearer, but we took granddad as well. And we just went out for Sunday lunch just for the day, quickly took him to Sainsbury's, did a bit of shopping. And it was, you know, it was great because we got to see him. We got to see where he was. Granddad got to see it as well. And we just got that little dose of, you know, contact with number two that we obviously wanted. But Simon's very good at that. He's very proactive, saying, let's think ahead. Let's try and find a weekend where we just go and see him for the weekend or just for a day. and it works well. And now that number one is in Oxford for the year, that's just up the road. So that's really easy. Yeah.
I think that's a really good point, because going to see them in their place, their new surroundings is a great thing to do, so that you can connect with that. So then when they say, oh, we went here, we went there, you've got some kind of idea.
Picture
about,
it. Yeah. 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 No, it's nice. And they're not averse to us coming, because I know when I got into Leeds and my parents were wanting to move to Yorkshire, and I went, oh, you're not going to be visiting me the whole time, are you? And that was just so negative. Whereas, you know, I always say to the boys, can we come? They're like, yeah, sure. They have no issue with it. Whereas I was like, oh my God, my parents are going to come and see me. This is going to be awful.
Maybe that says a lot to do with your relationship.
I don't know what it was. Because they wanted to move to Yorkshire, I thought they're going to be on my doorstep every single weekend. But they didn't. They didn't come once.
it's that kind of closeness that you want to still feel when your kids are growing up, isn't it? You know,
yes,
they might be adults, but every time you look at them, you can see the child in them too, you know.
Yeah. And they're always really grateful when they come home and go, oh, we did miss the cooking, mum and dad. Yeah, we did miss this. And then they're like, oh, is this a new glass? Have you got new carpets? Like, no. Oh, it feels different. Smells clean.
Isn't that nice? Yeah, they really appreciate the home comforts. And I really appreciate your time today, Pippa.
Oh, my pleasure.
Sharing your experience that I'm sure other parents are going to find really useful.
No, absolutely. My pleasure. No problem.
Thanks for your time, Pippa.
Thank you. Thank you.
And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information on this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.